Goalposts are still in motion in presidential politics. Today, South Carolina said it's moving up its state primaries. Other states are still reacting to Florida's decision on Friday to move up its Republican primary. And the thinking is that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has about half an hour to decide whether to run. Just kidding about the half-hour part, but he hasn't got a lot of time. New Hampshire officials are saying they now may have to move their primary up to December to hold on to that state's first-in-the-nation status, and so they're calling for candidates to file between October 17th and 28th. One consideration for Christie, funding. His supporters are said to be looking at super PAC possibilities. What exactly are they again, and where are we on the presidential campaign front? Holly Bailey is senior political reporter for Yahoo News. Holly, Chris Christie not making any media appearances today, so what's the latest?
Well, basically, it's all what's been dominating this race for weeks, a lot of rumors and speculation. We do know that several of his top campaign aides have been, you know, sort of exploring the idea of what would happen if he were to jump in the race at this late point. As you mentioned, looking at where they would get the funding and also focusing on whether they could sort of, you know, get the logistics in place. We're already sort of seeing what can happen if you sort of jump in the race late. Rick Perry has been criticized for, you know, having some problems with his issues, not really being as properly vetted, and that's obviously a big consideration for Christie of what kind of scrutiny would he face, and, you know, whether he can actually sort of survive the hype that's sort of surrounding his campaign at this point. Can he really capitalize on that to have a successful campaign?
Well, Politico says that as well, that it's a cautionary tale that Rick Perry is now trying to stay ahead of that story in the Washington Post this weekend about how his family leased a hunting ranch in Texas with a racially offensive name on the stone outside. Now, the Perry campaign really pushing back today, saying no, the word was painted over right after the ranch was leased in the mid-1980s. Other people saying no, it wasn't. But meanwhile, yeah, you and others saying that this points to how important vetting is, and this is something that Chris Christie doesn't have time to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, on that Perry story, I mean, one thing that was interesting to me about that story in the Washington Post is, you know, so many people were quoted anonymously. You have to wonder where it came from and who actually first leaked that story out, whether it was one of his rivals or whether it was someone in Texas who's, you know, opposed to his candidacy. Definitely the Perry campaign is really pushing back on this story and trying to sort of distance himself, pointing out that they did not own the land, that it was painted over. But again, it's a story that's really you know, does not come at a good time for Perry, especially whenever there's been all this other talk about, you know, his dismal debate performances and sort of shakiness on the stump about issues on immigration and so on.
Well, we want to get to another criticism, but it's also a cautionary tale for other candidates because after 20 years in Texas politics, it was not a big story. So it just goes to show that what may play in New Jersey or Texas might not play across the country. And you mentioned some of the other stories that Rick Perry has had to deal with. Another is an AP story today that to lure jobs to Texas, he offered $35 million in grants to mortgage companies, Countrywide and Washington Mutual, just before the housing bubble burst. Despite reports about all the risky loans they were making, we know Countrywide pretty much collapsed.
This, again, points to the fact that, you know, there's so much stuff happening in Texas that, you know, a lot of local reporters do know about, but, you know, on the national stage, people are really just starting to focus beyond the hype about his candidacy and more on the issues and how he governed. Most campaigns usually have enough time to sort of get ahead of these stories, but the Perry campaign seems to be running behind them most of the time.
Well, and how are the campaigns doing, and the Perry campaign maybe in particular, with financing? I mean, is this hurting their financing? What kind of money is coming in? Because that's the big concern right now.
Well, we don't know the specific numbers. On Friday was the deadline at the Federal Election Commission for third quarter fundraising. The campaigns don't necessarily have to report the numbers before October 15th, but many of the campaigns have sort of been leaking out some of the general numbers. Mitt Romney's campaign has said he's raised between $10 and $13 million. The Perry campaign has said it's raised more than $10 million, but it's really sort of not really putting out specific numbers just yet. The big focus is, yes, whether, you know, Perry will outraise Romney, especially because there was so much hype about his campaign, and he's known as such a prolific fundraiser. If he doesn't really edge out Romney by that much, I mean, that is sure to fuel a lot more doubts about whether his campaign has the ability to last the long haul, of whether donors are having doubts about whether he can win or beat President Obama. But then there's also this backdrop of the campaigns are also getting supplemental money from super PACs. Supporters have set up all these different committees to raise money to boost candidates' campaigns, and that's, you know, another part of this story.
Well, these are the independent fundraising groups with names like Make Us Great Again, that's Rick Perry's, or not his, but his supporters, and Priorities USA, supporters of President Obama. This all came about because of the Supreme Court ruling last year that says that these super PACs can accept unlimited donations, but they aren't allowed to coordinate with the campaigns. Now, first of all, does anyone really believe that? Because they're all run by former campaign operatives.
Right. And this is really hints at why campaign laws are really such a joke, increasingly a joke. You know, legally, they cannot coordinate. They cannot set up a phone call and say, what are you guys doing? And we're going to spend this kind of money to supplement what you're doing. But in one case, the Obama campaign was holding a fundraiser in Chicago or a briefing in Chicago for its top donors. And it just so happened that a few hours later, many of these same donors went to a briefing held by Priorities Action USA, which is a super PAC formed by a few former White House aides. So just coincidence that they were all in town at the same time. I mean, it does raise questions about, you know, the level of coordination. And that is really the untold story of this campaign, these committees that can raise unlimited amounts of money to benefit these campaigns.
Well, they first really showed their muscle, as you said, in the 2010 congressional elections. They were largely Republican super PACs, groups like American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS. These were run by Karl Rove, former Bush counsel and Republican Party chair Ed Gillespie, groups like American Action Network, American Action Forum. Democrats subsequently said they had no choice but to also have some super PACs. Have those super PACs actually become the Republican Party?
In some ways, yes. I mean, it seems like most of the action on the fundraising side is happening outside official campaigns, the official parties, all within these like shadowy networks among groups that don't necessarily always disclose who is giving them the money.
You know, some can receive anonymous donations because they fall under different parts of the tax code. We'll take up super PACs again, but I guess the question, Holly Bailey, is with all of this money, can Chris Christie catch up with a super PAC?
I think that there's enough people out there suggesting that Christie should run, that he's not going to have a problem. There's many donors that were supporters of George W. Bush, many supporters of John McCain in 2008, who's still not really affiliated with a candidate so far. They've so far sat on their money. But yet, you know, these committees have already proven that they can raise six-figure checks instantly. Mitt Romney's super PAC raised a $1 million contribution from a donor that first refused to disclose who he was.
And by the way, the Romney donor who made a $1 million donation and formed a corporation that was then dissolved right after the donation was made turned out to be a former co-worker of his at the investment firm Bain Capital. So questions being raised. We just want to note one thing that we thought was kind of interesting. Apparently dog owners in San Francisco have formed a PAC to sort of lobby and raise funds for things like dog parks and licenses. So super PACs are sprouting everywhere. Holly Bailey, senior political reporter for Yahoo News, thanks so much.
Thank you.